our adoration. This place of suffering that has become the source of our peace. This place of violence that has become the battlefield on which love is victorious. We stand together to sing the hymn, "There is a green hill far away." And now let's pray together. Let us pray. Father, as we relive the events of this day, it is with awe that we count again the cost of our salvation. Words can never be enough to express our thanks. So in a moment or two of quiet, we say our own personal thank you for the cross. And Father, as we meet on this Good Friday, we're so aware of the world in which we meet and the situations that surround us and that we're reminded of constantly through the news and so on. Lord, this is a broken and a dark world in so many ways. We remember before you the situations in Israel and Gaza, and Russia and Ukraine and other parts of the world that we're aware of. It is a broken world. And yet we thank you that this is the world into which Jesus came and for which he died. We thank you that we see here, as it were, the harsh reality of the world as it is, but the wonderful reality too of the love of God, that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. As we reflect again on such love, on such a sacrifice, may we remember again too all that he did for us as we worship him this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we're going to have a Bible reading, and Jim, I think, is going to come and read that passage for us. Thanks, Jim.
Our reading is from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 15, and reading from verse 22. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he didn't take it, and they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was the third hour when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified two robbers with him, one on his right and one on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, "He was counted with the lawless ones." Those who passed by hurled incense at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So you, who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Christ, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." One man ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a stick and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. Thanks be to God.
Song. Come and see, come and see, come and see the King of love. See the purple robe. happen. To get to the truth of Good Friday, we come back to the Gospels. The Gospels, of course, have so much of their pages concerned with the last week of Jesus' life. About a third in Matthew and Mark and Luke, and almost half of John's Gospel. And they describe what happened with great discretion, with great sincerity and sensitivity. They don't go into the details of the crucifixion as such, probably because their first readers would have known the harsh reality of what it was like. They choose not to dwell on those physical sufferings. I've heard preachers, I don't know, go into gut-wrenching detail about what happened on the cross. The Gospels don't do that. They describe the events with restraint, with respect. We're told enough to appreciate all that he went through for us. And that flows to my second reason, I think. It's a kind of more of a theological reason that says, why do the Gospels not emphasize the physical sufferings of Jesus as these films do? Because awful though it was, it was not the most important thing. It was not a matter of how he died, but who it was who died and why he died. Many, many people sadly endured the horrors of crucifixion in those days. There was one awful day in which 2,000 people were crucified. Now they probably physically went through almost much the same as Jesus did. What makes this death different is not the way he died, but why he died. That this was God's own Son, giving his life for us. Not so much being killed as laying down his life, as he said. No one takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord. The important thing is not the physical suffering he went through, awful though that was. And perhaps the main reason was more of an emotional reason, actually. Drama can bring home the stark reality of things, can't it? In a way that reading about it doesn't always do that. A contemporary example of that, remember the Post Office series on TV? I'm sure many of you saw it. Now, there are books written about that. There have been reports about that. There's been all sorts of accounts about that. The 900 plus postmistresses and masters and so on were accused of a crime they didn't commit. It had to be a dramatization that made it live for most of us. It brought alive the emotions, the people, the cost. And so I suppose a film about the events of Good Friday can do that. It can capture something of the harsh reality of it all. And let's face it, many people will watch a film who won't perhaps listen to a talk or read a book. In fact, Billy Graham said of this Passion of Christ film, it was a lifetime of sermons in one movie. On the screen, we see that it was a real person, real suffering, a real death. We see God at his most human, his most vulnerable, not masquerading, wearing a human mask, but suffering, as Isaiah 53 tells us. And in many senses, that film is a portrayal of the truth there. No beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. One from whom men hide their faces. And I suppose that's my real problem with films like that. They are graphic portrayals of the suffering of someone I love. Someone whom we worship. Someone we gladly call Lord. We know what he went through for us. We don't need it shown so vividly on a screen. In fact, we see it vividly portrayed almost week by week in bread and wine. So I come back again and again to the gospel story. Their simplicity, their restraint, their sensitivity. And they bring out too not only what he did but why he did it. He'd remind us that he died that we might live. He died that we might live through him, that we might be forgiven, that we might receive the gift of new and eternal life. He died that we might live for him. Such a sacrifice demands a response from us, doesn't it? Deserves that response. Love so amazing, so divine. My life, my all. And he died that we might live with him. When we face that cold reality of death ourselves, we can do so now without fear, with hope. Because it was not the end for Jesus, and it will not be the end for those who put their trust in him. Death did not have the final word. And that's why in a moment we're going to finish our time together by singing a song that takes us, yes, to the cross, but also beyond the cross, through the cross, to the glories of the empty tomb and the resurrection. But let's just pray before we do. Father, we thank you for Good Friday. We thank you that we can pause, we can remember, we can reflect, and we can worship. But we thank you that we do so in the light of Easter Sunday. In the light of that truth that the one who died rose again and is with us now by his Holy Spirit. We thank you for such love, for such a sacrifice. Thank you that now we can have new life in him. Help us to live for him and to know that one day we will live with him. Indeed, we can know his living presence even here and now. We praise you, Lord. We bless you for the cross of Christ and for the empty tomb. Amen. We're going to sing the closing song, In Christ Alone. It takes us to the cross and then beyond the cross to the resurrection. And then please do stay for tea and coffee and hot cross buns, I believe. Through the door to the left, my left, your right, is where they'll be served out in the hall after the service. Let's stand together to sing.
Oh.
Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good so that you may do his will, working in you that which is pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you. Thanks, Eileen. Thank you. Nice to see you. Let's turn this off. Thank you.
Thank you.